It's good to be back with you. It's the year before last, wasn't it? We were here? Yeah, I heard. I'm thankful to be here, very much so. Thankful to your pastor for asking me. It's quite an honor to be asked to preach in the absence, and I thank him. We go way back, way back. I've known him many years. And coincidentally, or in the Lord's sovereign providence, his grandfather was a preacher, you know, James Watson, and his grandfather and my father were real close friends, both of them preachers. So I guess it's fitting that Clay and I should become preachers as well. But thankful for him and the Moyers, Jeff and Joyce and Ben and Sarah treated us royally. Thank you very much. Turn with me to Psalm 90, the 90th Psalm. This is a Bible study. And in a Bible study, by definition, you study God's Word verse by verse. I was taught well by a pastor and a preacher who taught verse by verse from God's Word and told us young preachers to do the same. We are being taught something in God's Word, Bible study. And if I had a subject or a title, it would be verse 12. Look at this. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So that's the theme or the subject, or that's what I hope we're taught this morning, to number our days, to apply our hearts unto wisdom. This is one of the oldest psalms written, penned by Moses thousands of years ago. It's a prayer. If you notice, it says it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God, as are many of the psalms. Most of the psalms, prayers, calling on the Lord. Verse 1 begins, Lord, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he declares his God. He declares who God is. He declares the infinite, eternal God. He declares what man is, finite, the brevity of time. He declares what sin is and what wrath is and judgment and death. These are things we need to be taught, don't we? This is the truth. And then he teaches us the fear of the Lord. This is the beginning of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then there's a prayer. Oh, Lord. Return, O Lord, satisfy. So this is a wonderful psalm, a vital psalm that we know and learn and look at. Lord, verse 1, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. In him we live and move and have our being. God's people know that. Turn back to Psalm 18 with me. Psalm 18. All of God's people know God, their creator, the God in whose hands our breath is and all our way. God's people know him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom God sent. God's people know that we live and move and have our being in him. And look at Psalm 18. This is wonderful. In one verse, David writes this, declares much of what God is to his people. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my dwelling place. God's people know that. He's our dwelling place. So back in our text, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. In verse 2, he says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The fool hath said there's no God. Or man's conception of God is foolishness. God... who doesn't want things to happen, they happen anyway. That's no God at all, is it? This is the God who ordered all things, and they're sure, before the foundation of the world. God who predestinated all things, who worketh all things according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You can't do that. No, he does all things. He worketh all things. This is the God who says, I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal, I, the Lord, do all these things. And this foolish notion of God who didn't want things to happen, or God can't do things unless you let him, that's no God at all. God's people know that this is the everlasting God, the creator of the universe, our creator, who holds our life and our bread in his hands. Our times are in his hand. This is the God of the Bible, and this is our God. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. Now, who's he talking about? God the Father? Yes. What about God the Son? Yes. The Holy Spirit? Yes. Because these three are one person. One in essence, one in power, one in purpose. This is our God. Jesus Christ is our God. He's our Lord. Everlasting God. Verse 3, he says, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. The Lord is the one who kills. He's the one that takes our life from us. He's the one that gives it. He's the one that takes it. When he says turn, when he turns us from this earth, we return back to the dust from which we're made. That's when God says so. Not a moment later or a moment sooner. Job said this, Job 14. Thou hast appointed our bounds that we cannot pass. Number of our days, months are with the Lord, we cannot pass those bounds. Is that fatalism? No, it's Bible. It's true. This is the God of the Bible. So, we should not fear things. We should fear God. Because he's the God in whose hands our breath is. That's what Deuteronomy 32:39 says. I kill. I wound. I make alive. I kill. In verse 3, he says, thou turnest man, return, ye children of men. Return. Oh, that God would turn us from destruction. Oh, that God would turn us from sin. Turn us from a way that seems right unto us, which is destruction, to him. We will not unless he turns us. How many times in the scriptures does he say that? Turn us, O Lord, and we'll be turned. Not until then. No one will turn to God unless God says, turn. Unless he stops our wild career and brings us to himself. No one will. You're looking at the prodigal son. You're looking at the prodigal son. One of many. But I am a prodigal son. And I would not have come to Christ. I would not have turned from my path of destruction unless the Lord had turned me. So when he says turn, we turn. Oh, may he turn someone. This morning, verse 4, he says, 1,000 years are in thy sight, as yesterday in thy sight. 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, as a watch in the night. This is the infinite, eternal God, his purpose, infinite, his ways, amazing, past finding out. And yet he's going to tell us about finite man, the brevity of time. Read down through verse 6, verse 5. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, these years, like a flood, like we call it so much water under the bridge. That's what we say about the years that pass. Read on. There is a sleep. In other words, you wake up and it's over. In the morning, they're like grass which groweth up. In the morning, verse 6, it flourisheth and groweth up. And in the evening, it's cut down and withereth. Oh, how finite we are. 1,000 years. God is not a creature at all. He's not subject to time as we are. We're creatures of time, aren't we? In fact, we live right now in the present. We don't know what a moment brings forth. We cannot, man doesn't have a free will. That is, man cannot say, I will do anything, can you? You hope to. I will breathe a moment from you. No, you might. This is why he says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day brings forth. You ought to say concerning everything, if the Lord will. If the Lord wills, I'll live in the next moment. I'll breathe the next moment. We can't. Only God says, I will do this. I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it. I will do it. He has alone has free will. For a man to say he has free will means that he knows what he's going to do the next moment. That he, whatever he purposes, he's able to carry it out. We can't do that. Everything works according to God's will, God's purpose. We're finite. We're creatures of time. We don't know what the next. We just don't know what's going to happen to us. 1,000 years come and 1,000 years go quickly. It's of no essence to God. Everything is according to his purpose. God's sovereign, the wheels of God's sovereignty move slowly, but they're moving, certainly. Like if you go into the Tower of Big Ben in London, and you'd watch some of those big gears turning, say that hour hand, it's imperceptible how that it's turning, but it's turning, all right. It's turning. 1,000 years in God's sight are as but as yesterday, and one day is 1,000 years. So, and for us, though, they go by so quickly, don't they? They're like a sleep, like a sleep. You wake up, you said we're like grass, that we grow up in the morning, or the flower, the beauty of man, the glory of man, like the flower of the field. It looks beautiful and glorious one minute, the next moment it's old and withered, and it dies. He says we need to keep that in mind. Ben and Sarah's Keziah, her little daughter, is just a young and beautiful and new little girl, isn't she? So beautiful. Joyce is beaming right now. The most beautiful girl in the world, isn't she, Joy? Jeff. Tomorrow she's going to be a teenager. My daughter, it seemed like yesterday my daughter was born. She's approaching 40 years old. It's that quick. It's like you wake up and life is over. That's a fact. It's a fact. There's one scripture that says it's like a weaver's shuttle. My years are, Job said that, my years are like a weaver's shuttle. We have many textile mills in Virginia where I live. And one of the men worked in one of them. He took me to that mill where he was. And the sound was deafening. Jet loom, water jet looms. And it was deafening. But those weavers, those shuttles that were making cloth and so forth, you couldn't see them moving. Thousands, 10,000s of RPMs. That's our life. This was written thousands of years ago. How many people have gone before it? Trillions of people. And man's such a fool. His secret thought is he's going to live forever. He's going to live forever. No, you're going to live. He's going to tell us you're going to live 70 years. Maybe. Maybe 80. That's it. So we need to be wise, don't we? Consider our latter ends. Like grass. My mother is now 96 years old. I know. That's old, isn't it? And she keeps wondering, when's the Lord going to take her? She wants to go. Everybody else wants to live forever. She wants to go. She wanted to go a long time ago. She's going to go when God said so. Might be, so it might, for us, might be 40 years, 50 years. When I was 14 years old, the Lord took my 21-year-old brother. That's young, isn't it? 21. When I was 15, my best friend, I carried his dead body out of a building and tried to resuscitate him. He died. 15, my best friend. When I was 39 years old, Lord took my 42-year-old sister. Not long ago, on it goes. On and on it goes. Teach us, number our days. They go by so quickly. Verse 7, we're consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. We're consumed by thy anger. God is angry with the wicked every day. That's the God of the Bible. Doesn't it say that? God hatest all workers of iniquity. Listen to Psalm Isaiah 8. It says about those who look to the earth, this earth. They pass through this earth hungry. They fret themselves. They curse their king and their God. They look upward. They look to the earth. Trouble, darkness, dimness of anguish, driven to darkness. Isn't that what we're facing right now? Everywhere, everybody's in anxious and darkness and anguish. And why? Because there's no hope in this earth. It's a hopeless place. There's one hope. Hope in God. Hope in Christ. And hope of eternal life. We're consumed by God's anger. By his wrath are we troubled. That's why we're troubled. He said that there's no rest, no peace for the wicked. He said that twice. No peace for the wicked. Mm-mm. Man's in trouble. Man's in trouble with God. The wrath of God. Romans 1 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Doesn't it? God's just. God's holy. Verse 8, he says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. No secrets with God. He that made the eye, does he not see? Yes, he does. He that made the ear, does he not hear? Every word. Yes, he does. Secret sin in the light of his countenance. Oh, my, what does that do? What should that do to us? Well, those who know this God produces the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. He said, to this man will I look. He is a poor and a contrite heart and does what? Trembleth at my word. Trembleth. See, I'm a sinner. And God ought to be angry with me. He ought to pour out his wrath on me. Well, why doesn't he? I'm going to tell you in a minute. Verse 9, he says, our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Man, born of woman, a few days and full of trouble. Wrath, trouble. Sin, we've rejected our Creator. Romans 1, the whole chapter deals with mankind in general, doesn't it? Romans 2 talks about religious mankind. They're all guilty. Neither thankful, vainglorious, lifted up with pride, and filled with all manner of sin. Because of God's sin, there's wrath and anger. Here's the facts of the matter. 2.6 million people die in the United States alone every year. 7,300 people a day in this country alone. 5 people every minute. And I'm not talking about the virus. I'm talking about other things. Other things. 500 and some people a day die from so-called accidents. There are no accidents with God. And nobody seems to be giving these things a thought. They worry about one thing. And people are dropping like flies. Always have been. Always have been. Who's doing it? God is. Always has been. Always will be. It says, we pass away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Our lives are in the books. Everything. In the Revelation, it talks about books being open. The books, the books, the books, the books, all open. Every man being judged out of the books. Everything he's ever said, everything he's ever did. Say, I don't believe that. Well, that's what God's word said. Okay? Do you want to be judged for everything you've said and everything you've done? A lot of people are going to be. But there's one book, It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And God's people's names are in that book. And there's nothing on record in that book against them. Not one. Because the life that he lived for them. And he blotted out all the handwriting of ordinances against them, nailing them to his cross, covering their sins, everything they ever said and everything they ever did, in his own precious blood. That's the book I want to be found in, don't you? When my name is called, and there's a song that a brother used to sing years ago. He says that Christ will stand when my name is called and for me say, I'm here. Paul Mahan, Christ says, I'm here. Isn't that what you want? We're going to be judged. We're going to stand in the judgment either in Christ, covered, justified, clear from all charges in him, by him, or stand by him to be judged according to him in perfect righteousness by the Son of God himself. And we come far short of that glory, don't we? Oh, may my name be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our tale has already been told. You know that? All these stories of Old Testament saints, so much written about them. Well, that was written before the world began. Everything, to the hairs on their head were numbered. And the tale was told. Well, same with us. Same with that. A tale that is told. But it's a short tale. In it. Short story. Doesn't last very long. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70. That's 70. 70 years and 10. Maybe, verse 10 says, if by reason of strength, what kind of strength? Well, if you eat the right things, you take supplements, if you don't drink this polluted water, and if you exercise right, fooey on that. It has nothing to do with it. Maybe you won't gain so much weight. Maybe you'll feel a little better, but you're not going to add 1 second to your life. You're not going to take it away. No, sir. Well, then that means we can live any way we want to. Oh, just shut up. This is what it said then. Maybe. What strength? Who determines we live 70 years, 80 years? God does. As I said, my mother has cooked with lard all her life. Lard. 96 years old. She wants to die. Well, you eat that lard. I keep telling her, you keep eating that, you're going to die. She said, I hope so. 80 years. But it's full of, verse 10, strength. That means strong labor. He said that to Adam, didn't he, in the garden. You're going to, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to toil. Instead of a woman, you're going to labor in childbirth. Pain and sorrow and suffering and labor and blood and sweat and tears. What do we got to look forward to in this life? What do young people have to look forward to? Pain and sorrow and trouble and blood and sweat and tears, and then you die. Is that what this said? So why would you spend your money and your time and everything for that which satisfied not, which just is a vapor? Why would we do that? What fools we are. And I would not discourage any young person or any young people to not enjoy that. God gives us all things richly to enjoy. He does. The whole book of Ecclesiastes is about that. It tells us that God has given us the things of this world to enjoy, but we need to remember who gave them. Worship him for giving them, giving thanks. He gives them, yes, he does, freely gives that we might enjoy, but remember this, he's going to take it all away. Every bit of it, come on, take it away. The relationships wouldn't discourage anyone from getting married. And our Lord said, as in the days of Noah, that should be marrying and giving in marriage. Well, that's good. God ordained that. It's good. It's good in the Lord to marry in the Lord. But it's good. But remember this, that it's very soon, and it happens so quickly, that those that are married is like they've never been married before. My mother was married 72 years. He's gone. Art, he's gone. And I go over there, and it's sad. Her mate of 72 years, the last 20 years, they were never apart, ever. Now he's gone. And it's going to happen to every one of us. So what's wise? What's wisdom? See, if my dad knew the Lord and my mom knew the Lord, they're going to be joined again. Never going to part. They never have to part. Isn't it a blessing, Brother Jeff? He's made your wife your sister. Eternally, forever. Heirs of eternal life, Peter said. That's the blessing, isn't it? Marriage is wonderful. It's more wonderful being married to Jesus Christ. If both of you are married to Christ. Why? You'll never part. You might for a little bit. Just for a few days. But you'll be joined again. Isn't the Lord good? That's wisdom, he said. That's wisdom. Verse 11 says, who knoweth the power of thine anger? According to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Know something of God's wrath, know something of his fear. Know something of God's anger, know something of his fear. The world doesn't know anything about that. God says, why should you be smitten? You only rebel again and again to the world. Why should you be smitten? They don't turn to him that smites them, that Isaiah said. God's people do. They recognize the hand. Like the children of Israel in Egypt, they all recognize that the wrath, the plagues and various things were from the hand of God. Didn't they, Greg? All the children of Israel knew why these things were happening. Idolatry and sin and against an ungodly world. They all knew that. And they all knew why the wrath was not on them. Blood on that door. Mercy. Grace through their Redeemer, Christ, who was to come. They all knew that they deserved the wrath that Egypt got. But God spared them. They were covered. They were under the blood. Why didn't any Egyptians come running to them and say, what's this all about? Why are these plagues coming? Why didn't somebody tell us why this wrath is coming down from heaven? They didn't do it, did they? Why? Sovereign election. Sovereign revealing grace. His people, they know, they see, they fear the Lord. But it says of the world, David says in Psalm 36, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there's no fear of God before their eyes. God's name is on everybody's lips, down to little children. When men ought to be saying, oh my God, have mercy upon us. Everybody ought to be saying, oh my God, have mercy on us. I don't hear anybody saying that. But God's people, we're so blessed, aren't we? If we can say, like David, oh my God, have mercy. God has had mercy. And he'll not hold them guiltless who take his name in vain. Any young people, don't say it. Old people, don't say it. Don't get used to anybody saying it. Anger, wrath. We know something about that, Noah, and we fear him. We fear him. So, that's a powerful little word, isn't it? So, teach us. Teach us. Teach me and my wife and my children, my grandchildren. So, in light of all this, God so loved the world. How? Killed his son. Why did he have to kill his son? He's angry. He'll by no means clear the guilty. What did it take to put away sin? God had to kill his son. But God so loved many in this world. So. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Like, ho! Isaiah 55. Everyone that thirsteth, come. So. Teach us. It says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What is wisdom? It's not a what. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Men study all manner of subjects. They want all sorts of knowledge and all manner of subjects. And yet they say there's no God. That makes them fool. That no matter what they study, no matter what they become experts in, be it physics or be it medicine, be it science, whatever it is, if they don't know God, they're fools. You know what wisdom is? It's a person. In Christ dwelleth all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. It's a person. Why do they call the owl a wise owl? You ever thought about that? Mankind just designated an owl as being wise. Why is that? I think it's in God's providence. In God's providence, you know, he can see in the darkness. He can see clearly in the darkness. But if you ask him any question, ask him, he'll give you one answer. Who? What's the meaning of life? Who? Well, if a man dies, will he live again? How's he going to live again? How? Who? It's all about him. All about Christ. He's all the treasures of wisdom. So he said, teach us to apply our hearts that to know him. Oh, that's what Paul said. Oh, that I might know him. Whom to know is to have eternal life. Who is wisdom? Verse 13, return, O Lord. How long? That's what God's people say. You know, they don't want to live forever. They want Christ to come back. Come now. Return. How long is this going to be? How long we have to stay here? Well, until he says so. And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Oh, the Lord have mercy and spare us and turn us. That was repent me. Turn us. Oh, satisfy us. Look at verse 14. I love it. Satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Ecclesiastes says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. It's good that a young man, a young person bear the yoke in their youth. Oh, that God would put his yoke upon them in youth. In verse 15, I like this. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, the years wherein we have seen evil. Oh, may we see the goodness of God in the chastening hand of our Lord and all the troubles and all the trials whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Oh, all these troubles and trials may be judgment upon the earth, but they're the goodness of God for God's people. They're the goodness of God. They cause us to look to him. They cause us to realize this world is so brief and fragile and failing and temporary. The things that are seen are temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. It causes us to set our affection on things above. And God sends all these troubles and trials to his people, and it's all good. No matter how tough it is, it's the goodness of God. Make us glad and rejoice in him, not set our affection on these things, perishing. So verse 15 says, make us glad the years we've seen evil. The next chapter, Psalm 91, says, no evil shall befall you. Moses went on to say, no evil shall befall you. Why? Because all things work together for good according to the purpose of God. His people, those that love God, and all the evil is good for us. We're going to see. It's good. What we call evil is the goodness of God on behalf of his people. Verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants. That's the work of Christ on Calvary's tree. That's the work of redemption. That's the work of salvation that Christ performed by himself. Over in chapter 92, it says, thou hast made me glad through thy work. Does this gospel make you glad? Some of you are smiling. And in the midst of all this labor and sorrow and trouble and tears, he's prepared us a table in the midst of our enemies. We walk through the shadow of death, yet we really fear no evil because God is with us and he's made us glad, hasn't he? Does this make you glad? Anything else make you more glad? Happier? Can anything in this world really satisfy you? No. He said, satisfy. You be our satisfaction. Make us glad. Let thy work appear unto thy servant. Thy glory, the glory of God and the person and work of Christ. unto us, and Lord, show it to my children. And verse 17, he says, let the beauty of our Lord, the Lord our God, be upon us. Clothe us with that beautiful robe of righteousness, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Oh, create me in his image unto good works. That's what salvation is all about. That's what it's for. Take a worthless sinner and make him worth something. Scripture says the world's not worthy. Salt of the earth. Light of the world. His people. You imagine that. Take an old rotten prodigal son and make something out of it. Only God can do that. And that's what he prays for. I want to be like Christ. I want to be of some use. I've been nothing but useless all my life. My death. Establish thou the work of our hands upon it. Yea. Yes, Lord. The work of our hands, establish it. Let me not just serve myself, but serve my God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Teach us, O Lord. O Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. And we ask that you would teach us who thou art, who you are, what we are, the brevity of this life, us and our children. Show us thy wrath. Show us thy anger. Show us our sins, but show us mercy. And teach us to number our days, to apply our hearts to knowing Christ, be found in him. Show us the work of Christ on Calvary's tree for guilty sinners. And establish this work and our works in him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.